No sooner had we registered the guns than we got a reaction. Big 90-millimeter Japanese mortar shells began crashing along the crest of the ridge. They came so thick and so fast, we knew an entire enemy mortar section was firing on us, not an isolated gun. They were zeroed in on the ridge and traversed along the crest from my left to the far right end of the company's line. It was an awful pounding. Each big shell fluttered and swished down and went off with a flash and an ear-splitting crash. Shrapnel growled through the air, and several men were wounded badly. Each shell threw stinking mud around when it exploded. The wounded were moved down behind the ridge with great difficulty because of the slippery, muddy slopes. A corpsman gave them aid, and they were carried to the rear, shocked, torn, and bleeding. An uneasy quiet then settled along the line. Suddenly, someone yelled, "There goes one!" A single Japanese soldier dashed out of the blackness of the culvert. He carried his bayoneted rifle and wore a full pack. He ran into the open, turned, and headed for shelter behind the tip of the southern end of the crescent arm on our left front. It looked as though he had about a 30-yard dash to make. Several of our riflemen and BAR men opened up, and the soldier was bowled over by their bullets before he reached the shelter of the ridge. Our men cheered and yelled when he went down. As the day wore on, more Japanese ran out of the culvert in ones and twos and dashed for the shelter of the same ridge extension. It was obvious they wanted to concentrate on the reverse slope there, from where they could launch counterattacks, raids, and infiltration attempts on our front line. Obviously, it was to our best interest to stop them as quickly as possible. Any enemy soldier who made it in behind that slope might become one's unwelcome foxhole companion some night. When the Japanese ran out of the culvert, our men fired on them and nearly always knocked them down. The riflemen, BAR men, and machine gunners looked on it as fine target practice because we received no return small arms fire, and the Japanese mortars were quiet. I kept busy with the field glasses, observing, adjusting range, and calling fire orders onto the slope and the road embankment. I had the Tommy with me, but it wasn't as steady and accurate at the 200 to 300 yard range as an M1 Garand rifle. We had an M1 and an ammo belt in our OP, though, and I wanted to throw down that phone and the field glasses and grab up that M1 every time an enemy popped into view. As long as our mortar section was firing a mission, I had no choice but to continue observing. The Japanese kept up their efforts to move behind the slope. Some made it because our men missed them. Our 60-millimeter mortar shells crashed away steadily on the target areas. We could see Japanese emerge from the culvert and be killed by our shells.